Okay, you know, pardon me for being stupid, but what's the deal? I mean, okay. Foursquare.
Yes.
Why?
Because people like to check in and, like, show that they're at places they like, and a lot of businesses give discounts to people who check in a lot.
That was the thing. I was making sure. Foursquare, you do get discounts if you do check in.
Well, that
lot,
all
right?
Depends. Some places do that, some places don't.
That's right, but that's what makes it even weirder. I'm like, why? I don't know. My wife is going off on, and someday we have to on all these social media applications now, and she's like fucking fed up.
Okay.
Well, you know, the Instagram, the Twitter, the Foursquare, the this, the that. I'm like, fuck. I'm like, Jesus. You know, it's like, who can keep them straight? That's at least what she said. Which, actually, I'm not going to be that far off on it. It's like, she is right.
There are tons of them. Yeah. Have we started already?
No.
Oh, okay. Actually, we had really started. Yvonne just didn't know. Okay, back to the show. Okay.
I know, I was just looking at somebody that just, there was just something. Oh, they checked in through Foursquare, and I'm like, why? Anyway.
Some people like that. I don't know. Shall we start?
Yeah.
Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Wednesday, July 31st, 2013. I'm Sam Minter, and Yvonne Bo is with us again this week. Hello, Yvonne.
Hello. Where the hell was I last week?
You were somewhere in Ohio.
That's right. And I'm in fucking Ohio again. Twice in like 2 weeks.
But a different part of Ohio, right?
But a different part of Ohio. Yeah, I really don't like this state. Can I be honest with you? Now I know why I don't live anywhere near here. I mean, you know.
You used to live in Indiana. Was that better?
This whole area, like, I don't want to be near it.
Are you speaking about the entire Midwest or a
basically
smaller?
Yeah, that's about right.
The entire Midwest, no good for you.
Yeah, basically. Yeah,
even like Chicago and stuff, or just like more rural.
I'm okay with Chicago. I can deal with Chicago, but you know,
but not
like,
Cleveland.
No, not Cleveland. No, fuck. Oh, Jesus Christ! The mistake by the lake. No, forget it.
St. Louis.
Hey.
Yeah. Where else counts as Midwest?
Oh gosh,
I actually saw an online debate earlier this week with people debating exactly what was Midwest and what the boundaries of Midwest were. But
well, I will say I know Tennessee is really not considered part of Midwest, but it is in this area, like just south, and like if I go like this whole Tennessee, West Virginia. Ohio.
West Virginia, also not Midwest.
I know. I know it's not. I know it's not. But it is a contiguous, like, I mean, I'm talking about this contiguous clump there that you could, like.
So you're not really talking about the Midwest. You're talking a little bit, you know, okay, Ohio's kind of borderline Midwest. It probably is Midwest. But, like, the rest of these states, so you're talking about Ohio and the states, like, to the south of Ohio?
And like that area, yeah, it's just, oh god, man, jeez. Anyway, all right, I mean, I don't want to be here. If anybody else wants to be here, it's okay, that's fine. I just don't want to be one of them. All right.
Yeah, I guess, you know, there's some fun things in Ohio. I couldn't name any off the top of my head, but I'm sure there are.
I did drive by Springfield.
That's exciting.
I did not see Homer Simpson, though. I didn't see him. He wasn't around, so.
You know, they were deliberately ambiguous about which Springfield.
I know they were. I know they were.
Although I think they, Matt Groening ended up admitting it was like Springfield, California or something that was in his head.
Yeah, but I always like, I don't know why, for whatever, I always.
You always think Ohio?
Yeah.
So anyway, we've got an exciting show coming up. We're going to talk Bradley Manning. We're going to talk more NSA stuff. We cannot get away from the NSA stuff, but there were some developments this week. We're going to talk a little bit about the new censorship regime that's coming into play in the UK. And Yvonne had some comments on Twitter earlier this week as well. President Clinton had made some comments about income Clinton? Stagnation.
President Clinton? President Clinton? Really?
I just had a time warp moment. President Obama. Yeah, made some comments about income stagnation, and there was some online posts sort of refuting it, and I believe Yvonne would like to take Obama's side in that argument, and so we'll talk about all of that stuff. I also did have one small bit of feedback that came in actually about last week's show. So it was the show with Bruce as a guest, and I will say right off the bat, this was from my mom.
Oh.
Who I thought did not listen to the show. I knew she had listened to a couple shows a while back, but I thought she'd been chased completely away by us. But she just said, podcast was interesting this week. She watched the new Who Do You Say I Am. I had noticed there was a new one saved before we mentioned it in the podcast. And she hasn't heard of any of the celebrities this season, but she likes the show anyway. And then I said something along the lines of, you know, that I didn't know she listened anymore. I thought she'd chased, I thought we'd chased her away. And she says she doesn't listen often. She has to be in the right mood to try it, to give it a try for reasons you know, which is basically we curse and swear too much.
All right. I actually have made a commitment that I said that I want to swear less on the show.
Swear less. Okay.
Yes. All right. So we're going to give that a
shot. You know, and I kind of, I've noticed that I bounce off you. Like, I don't think I sweared very much in the show with Bruce, you know, but when I'm having like the back and forth,
I know, it's my fault. Okay. Jeez.
Anyway,
all right. I might admit it.
She said it was very easy though, to listen to you and Bruce. Was it Bruce? And she was doing something else at the same time. So that's all the feedback from last time. So Bruce, if you're out there, my mom liked listening to you on the show because you don't curse and Yvonne does. And I do when Yvonne's on the show too. So anyway, so should we jump right in then?
Yes.
Okay. Bradley Manning.
We have
not talked much about this guy since he was first revealed as the leaker behind the WikiLeaks stuff. Totally. You know, there's been a whole bunch going on. I mean, we may have mentioned when it came out about sort of his harsh treatment, when he was being held prior to trial, but we certainly haven't talked about the trial. And that's actually been, you know, there's certain places that are covering it, but for the most part, you know, we've had this conversation the last couple of weeks about how the NSA stuff isn't on the front pages anywhere. Well, neither has the Bradley Manning stuff.
Neither has it. That's right.
Yeah. Because although there's, you know, potentially significant issues here, not just for his personal case, but in terms of precedent being set for how you deal with leakers, it hasn't been out there, you know, as sort of a popular thing. Now, I've read tons about it. Well,
I've read tons about it
this last week. I've kind of ignored it the last year or so as well.
Yeah, we have. Yeah. But by the way, remember that this was a court martial, so yep. Not necessarily a, you know, I mean, Snowden would be charged in a totally different venue.
Yep.
Okay. If he were ever to come to the U.S. And the laws governing are different because military like regulations versus law, they're not exactly the same. So, but I mean, bottom line is that, which I agreed with the verdict. I think the judge was equitable. He said, you know, so Manning got acquitted on the charge of, like, you know, basically
giving information to the enemy.
Enemy, correct.
Of aiding the enemy, I should say.
He was acquitted of aiding
the enemy. He pled guilty to some minor charges, and he was also found guilty on a bunch of espionage charges, as well as some charges of theft of government property, essentially.
Right.
And I'll say, like, you know, and I want to preface again, I have no idea the details of what these laws say. So I'm going to talk in a general sense, as opposed to specifically, here's what the law said.
Right. We're not talking about the law. We're just talking about in generalities. Yeah, yes. All right. Don't all the lawyers in the world can go, please don't, you know, yeah, we're not parsing the legalities at that level.
So the one thing I would say, I'm very glad the giving information to the enemy didn't go through, because I think that would have been a very dangerous precedent.
I totally
agree. He clearly was not, you know, his motivations were, and we've talked about before, if you make it public, obviously everybody in the world has it, including your enemies. But I think it is a big difference in what you're trying to achieve. And even in the result, like if you give something to everybody, okay, your enemies have it, but you know your enemies have it. If you sell some stuff under the table to the Russians or to Al-Qaeda, then yeah, they have it, but nobody else does. And you don't necessarily know they have it. So it's more of an advantage at that point, because you can't defend against it as much. But I think the fact that that charge did not stick is good in terms of precedent. I worry if there's a similar sort of issue in terms of espionage itself, though, because it seems like, and this is that we've talked about this definition before, like if fundamentally, if you're giving it to the public, like when you think of the word, I'm sorry for being scrambled here, but when you think of the word espionage, what you think of is the spy handing off information to another country.
Correct.
You don't think of the guy saying, hey, I think this should be public. Here, give it to the newspaper.
Yeah. And the reason why he thought it was public was not just because, I mean, he actually believed that the conduct was not, how do I say, that there was conduct that the military should not be conducting.
Yep.
And it was being hidden. And he exposed it because of that. Okay. And I didn't disagree with his motivation to do that. I think that, I mean, let's face it, we've had a number of abuses that have happened while we've been at war. Like we had abuses at, what was the jail in Iraq?
Abu
Ghraib. And we've had other things that have happened. Like we found out about the torture and other things and whatever, whatnot. And I think that if you are a person of, you know, that believes that we should be better than that, I think it is your duty to a certain respect to expose that, okay, and to make sure people do that. And I think that Manning, you know, for the most part, if you see what his motivations were not for his own publicity or to, like, just
to sort of hit the Snowden issue you were talking about. He intended to stay hidden. He didn't want
that's
to
that's right. Caught. That's right.
And he screwed up by telling the wrong person what he'd done, who went and turned him in.
Right. And so, I mean, his intention was to expose conduct that was that he really found reprehensible and that people should be investigated for.
Well, and there are different – he released a whole bunch of different stuff potentially. I mean, there's that one video of the American Apache helicopter attack on journalists and civilians.
Right.
And that's, I think, one of the examples. It's very clear, like, you know, this is the kind of thing that if a mistake like that happens, and I will grant that it was a mistake and not the government and intentionally saying,
targeting,
let's go shoot some journalists. That's exactly the kind of thing that we should be open about, because we should be, hey, we made a mistake. We'll own up to it. We'll do the best to make sure it doesn't happen again, et cetera. And frankly, you know, there should be consequences for the people who screwed up and had that be the result, which there haven't been, by the way. The people in the helicopter and such, there have not been consequences for them. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, he also released this huge trove of State Department documents. And I think the case is not as clear there. Now, I don't get me wrong. I actually think the release of that larger cache of State Department documents was on the overall healthy thing to release, because very little of that really truly needed to be secret. And a lot of it showed some very interesting things, let's say.
It was classified. He was in the military. It was the rules. And I understand why. The one thing that I got to give credit to the judge was that the judge went and said, listen, you know what? I'm sorry. I mean, I'm not going to put this guy and like make him guilty of aiding and abetting the enemy, because that's not what he was doing. However, I mean, he went and he released a lot of information. It is against military regulations what he did. And, you know, he was shown guilty of it. Now, you know, the thing is, I guess, I guess that I don't like just indiscriminate like releases of information, because especially sometimes there are reasons specifically for it. I know that a lot of people don't agree with them, but I think that it does make sense to a certain extent to keep a whole bunch of communication that is not out there public. However, the thing is that I don't understand. We've gone from Greenwald's on TV. I don't understand why we can't differentiate between being a whistleblower, in which you find wrongdoing and you go out there, and for some reason now it's like, hey, let's just publish everything. Hey, I got 700,000 pages of stuff. Let's just vomit it all out there. I don't get it. Why is it that you feel the need to be fair there,
part of what happened with the WikiLeaks thing is that WikiLeaks was in the process of slowly releasing stuff through the New York Times out of that cache. Mm-hmm. They originally had not intended to just release the whole thing wholesale. But then what happened is one of the journalist partners who they were working with, I think it was The Guardian, posted sort of a color article about how did we go about having these documents and how did we work with WikiLeaks. And part of what they said is, you know, WikiLeaks put the document up on this server and told us that it would have this funky password and blah, blah, blah. And meanwhile, of course, the password still worked. The document was still there. And then the world got a hold of it.
Right.
And then once the whole world had it, WikiLeaks said, what the fuck? Here's the whole thing.
But here's the thing. What I'm saying is that the private himself didn't go.
No, he gave everything to the journalists.
Exactly. Okay. If your point was to expose certain conduct, then why didn't you go and find a specific information you're looking for and expose that instead of having 700,000 pages of it? And I still don't get that. I don't understand it. I'm having trouble grappling with that. Okay.
Well, you know, I'm trying to go through that thought process in my head, and here's where I would come to that. If I had access to that kind of stuff and I was spot checking, and I'm like, I open one thing and I'm like, oh, that's bad. And I open another thing and I'm like, oh, that's bad. And I open a third thing. Oh, that's bad. And every time I look at something, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe this is here. At a certain point, I'd stop looking at every single thing and say, look, there's this whole thing and it's just rife.
But if you talk about the 700,000 documents that are out there, if you think about it, actually most of the stuff, and a lot of people arguing why he should get a light sentence, was inane. It's not like what you were saying. Not that every page was like riveting and like, oh my God, look at all this bad stuff.
But that's part of the thing too. If I knew there was, you know, bad stuff throughout, but I couldn't find it all myself, I'm just playing devil's advocate here. You know, I could see saying, you know, I know this has a bunch of stuff back in it, but I don't have the time, resources, or ability to find it all. I'm going to give it to somebody who can.
I keep thinking about other leakers. Like we're talking about the guy that published the Pentagon Papers, right? And he was very specific on what he chose or Deep Throat, for example. I mean, he was very specific. I mean, these guys went and targeted. They said, "Listen, this is the conduct. This is bad. This needs to be public. I'm targeting this." I've seen this pendulum route right now with the whole WikiLeaks thing where, hey, you know what? We've got a million pages of shit. Let's just blurt it all out.
And remember, this is exactly one of the things.
It seems to be like sloppy journal. I mean, if you're asking me, it's just like almost like fucking like sloppy journalism.
Well, except remember, Manning wasn't a journalist. But
I know.
But having said this, this is one of the things that Snowden specifically has said time after time in his interviews, is that he didn't want to be like Manning. He didn't want to be indiscriminate. So he did go through and pick specific things to hand over that he thought were directly relevant and needed to be made public. And he said time after time, there's all kinds of other stuff that I was not about to release because it wasn't relevant and it would be damaging if I released it.
Well, actually, here's the thing, and I've gone down on the whole Snowden thing. I actually, look, there's a couple of things about this that we've said this before. I mean, Snowden's case is different. I mean, the actual problem, the bigger problem with Snowden has nothing to do with this. The bigger problem with Snowden is how he's acted since he's done this. It's really more the problem than anything else. I mean, I don't know. I guess he's still, last week it came out that supposedly he was going to be out, and then he wasn't, and he's out. So he's still at the airport.
And meanwhile, the U.S. government promised Russia that they wouldn't kill him or torture him.
Right.
But basically that hasn't moved. And you're right. There were reports that he'd been given authorization to leave the airport, and then there were reports that, no, he's still at the airport. So I don't know what the hell's going on there.
Yeah, it's just, you know, like,
but anyway, now here, as we are recording this, a few hours ago, we got the verdict. Sentencing is not, you know, for another, you know, till tomorrow, you know, well, later today, UTC, but another like.
It is going to be that quick, the sentencing. Yes, I thought it would take more time.
Sentencing is less than 24 hours from the time we are recording this show.
Okay.
Actually, I was wrong here. Well, sort of wrong. Kind of a germ of truth, but not quite right, and misleadingly not right. False, true, something. Anyway, the reality is that the sentencing phase of the trial was starting within 24 hours after the verdict was read, but not the actual result of the sentencing. The sentencing phase of the trial could potentially last weeks. So while sentencing, in quotes, indeed has started, as I was talking here, I was certainly under the impression, mistakenly, and giving the impression to listeners that we'd actually get the sentence. That's not the case. The sentencing phase started and will last a while. Okay, back to the show. You can hear the rest of me being wrong about that. Sentencing was scheduled for 24 hours after the verdict was read.
Okay.
So if I do my math right, yeah. Well, it doesn't matter. Long before this podcast goes out, so the people listening to this will know what the sentence was. We don't right now, and I think that'll be actually just as interesting as the verdict, because the judge could throw the book at him, and if he got the maximum sentences for everything he was convicted of. I believe the total was 120-something years.
Yeah. I expect them to go to jail. I don't expect them to go to jail for 126 years.
Right. And okay. So this is the question. If I had to bet, I'm going 10 to 20.
I'm going to say less than 10.
Less than 10.
Yep.
I think that would be very interesting if that comes to pass. If the judge does less than 10, then it's basically saying, yes, you broke the rules, but I can see the point that maybe it was for a good purpose. Maybe you had good means, and maybe there were actually some good results that came out of it.
Listen, if the guy goes 7 years to jail, it's not exactly like a slap on the wrist either.
No,
I mean, I'm sorry. Not, 7 years in jail are not, you know.
No, not at all.
It's not a walk in the park.
Not to mention that his first stint in jail so far has not been the pleasantest thing in the world.
Right. So it's not like he's getting off easy, but what I'm saying is what I think that the sentence should reflect. Listen, the guy doesn't deserve to be in jail for the rest of his life. I don't think so.
Right.
However, I mean,
if I was doing the sentencing, I'd practically just give him time served and say, thank you, go on your way.
I mean, yeah, but
But I don't think the real judge would do anything like that. If she does, it would be a complete slap in the face to the government case. It's like,
I don't think they're going to do that. So there's going to be some. Look, we'll see. We'll see. I don't know. So obviously, whoever's listening to this will know before we do. So.
Yeah, and also, of course, so you'll know exactly how stupid we were. But yeah. The defense has also promised that all of this is, of course, going to be appealed.
Yes.
So this is not over by a long shot. It's going to continue and continue and continue and continue. And, you know, we'll see how it goes. Anything more to say on Manning before we take a break and move on to something else?
No, let's move on.
Okay, we'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk about the lovely NSA. This is Sam here with an opportunity for you. Yes, you heard me right, an opportunity. For you loyal listeners of Curmudgeon's Corner, you know, every once in a while, Yvonne can't make a show. And I do a solo show, which, you know, I think I do okay. But, you know, it's always interesting to have a second person to bounce off. And just in general, sometimes it's good to hear another voice. If you, yes, you, have some things to say about the kinds of things we usually talk about on Curmudgeon's Corner, you know, politics, current events, news, tech, then drop me a line at abelsmay@abelsmay.com letting me know. And hey, I'll keep you in mind and maybe ask if you can join us sometime, either on a regular show with Yvonne if it's something particularly pressing that you maybe have an expertise on, or just, you know, hey, an opportunity to co-host when Yvonne is out. Who knows? Now, I am not guaranteeing that if you send me an email, you'll definitely get on the show, but let me know if you're interested, and I'll keep you in mind. Thanks, and now, back to the show. Okay, here we are. So, Yvonne.
Yeah.
There are a number of things that happened this last week, but let's start with, you had a little dust-up with Glenn Greenwald.
Yeah, I did, apparently. Jesus Christ.
So I retweeted something that I'm not going to – I should actually bring up what I tweeted. But I retweeted something by somebody basically saying, you know, the good thing about all the Snowden stuff is that it's starting to move public opinion and we're having a debate we would not have had otherwise. And you came on and poo-pooed that.
Yes.
And basically said – you know, are you kidding me? It's not in the news. It's not in the papers. No one gives a shit.
Yeah.
And then Glenn Greenwald answered you, and I'm paraphrasing all this. You can go back and look at our Twitter histories to see the actual words. Glenn Greenwald came back and said, hey, but look at this poll.
And I'm like, oh, come on. Really? Seriously? I'm like, that's what he said. It cited a poll?
Well, and see, now, here's the thing. I'm going to take his side here because he's not looking at that. It's not just that one particular poll. There have been a number of polls that have come out over the last few weeks that have shown, and I'm not even looking at the absolute numbers of what it says today. I'm looking at comparisons.
Here's the problem with all of those polls, including the one that was just told to me today. Yeah. All right. The polls that I've seen are polls that are going to a person and saying, hey, what do you think about security, you know, or about this issue specifically, right? So they're asking the question. It's like, it's almost like asking, hey, Sam, are you opposed to like child pornography? Yes. Okay. All right. Sure. All right. You're going to say yes. Of course you are. Okay. Now, if I go and I grab you off the street, hey, could you tell me what the top five things you're worried about in America are right now? How about that I guarantee you grab 100 people right outside your house right now? How many of them are going to mention the NSA and Snowden?
No, no, no. See, here's the thing that you're missing with that.
No, 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 no. That's what all you guys are missing with this. The problem with this is that, like I said before, if you can't grab the average American to go and mention it off the top of their head, and what you're getting is the answer to a poll where they say that they don't like it, that doesn't move to do something that Congress or anybody does anything.
Okay, here
nobody will. Nothing happens with that in this country.
Let me do the counter arguments here. Because one, here's the important thing about the polls is that we're not looking at a static poll. The important things here are when you look at the same question asked now versus the same question asked 6 months ago and the same question asked 3 years ago, and there's movement towards more people caring. Now, more people may not be enough yet, but the point is the movement. The point is because we've had this happen, more people are thinking about it in a different way than they did 6 months or a year ago. There's movement in the direction of more people caring about their civil liberties than did before. So, A, that's the thing. And it's not, okay. It's not saying that they care enough necessarily today at this very moment to make that change. And I think I said that in my responses over Twitter. It's that there has been movement in that direction. And I think I also said, by the way, not to just reiterate everything we said on Twitter, but this is the kind of thing that for that progress to continue, there has to be a more drumbeat. There has to be more revelations continue
to come out. But that's my point. The problem is that there isn't going to be.
Well, no,
because this is one of those issues that I guarantee you, like right now, that 6 months from now, nobody's going to give a damn. It's like, well, like what, you know what? You just said it perfectly today when we started a podcast. What happened with the whole Manning thing in WikiLeaks? Did you forget about the whole damn thing?
I never forgot about it. But it was not in the top. It was not the front
burner. It was nowhere near that you'd bring it up in a conversation. You remember to even look up what the hell was going on.
I saw updates about Manning.
All you guys with the whole thing that the poll's moving a little bit in the direction are freaking wishful thinking. Because historically, Americans, unfortunately, and it's not that I agree with the fact that the Americans, historically, Americans on every fucking poll have gone and said that, you know what, when the chips come down, they say, yeah, we're willing to give up some civil liberties in order to, like, for security. And if you ask the question that way, instead of the question that was being asked in those polls, people wind up still going on the 60th percentile towards that.
So the question,
the problem is the damn poll with asking the question of what the hell you're asking about. Because the problem is that yes, a lot of people saw it in the news recently. So yes, there's a lot of people that have in their consciousness. So all of a sudden, if people are going, oh yeah, this is bad. Yeah, it's bad. Yeah, because I just saw it like the last couple of weeks on the news. And then you go like 2 years from now. You know what? They don't give a fuck anymore. And that's the problem.
And again, you may well be right. If there is not a continued further set of revelations that continue to come out, yeah, I believe you entirely that this will recede from the public consciousness and no one will give a shit. But here's the other part that was very interesting this week is the Amash Amendment, if I'm saying his name right. Which was basically was put onto the floor of the House. It would restrict funding to the I believe it was only the pulling the telephone records.
Right, correct. Yes,
it was very limited. It was just that. But what was very interesting about the vote, it failed in the House, but just barely. But very interestingly, it was the most bipartisan thing to come out of the Congress in forever.
I know.
You had basically an even split yes and no in both parties. So what that means is the group of people who were saying, yes, let's restrict this, cut a slice out going horizontally across the two parties rather than coming from one party and then pulling off a few people from the other party like most things do. And so you've got a significant portion of the Democrats and a significant portion of the Republicans who are in the House, who are on record wanting to roll back some of the surveillance powers. And there are a few more bills coming up for votes over the next couple weeks, potentially, that are similar. Now, it was actually interesting that this thing was allowed to come to a vote at all, because one of the interesting things about the dynamic here was the leadership of both parties was against it. Rebels in both parties that got it out there, managed to get it out for a vote, etc. And it'll be interesting to see if there's anything else that can come out of that kind of coalition, because, you know, frankly, it did a lot better than I thought it would.
But here's the thing, and you actually hit the nail on the head. The reality is that this kind of surveillance and all of this has been something that has been authorized before in a bipartisan way.
Yep.
by the leadership of both parties. The people who have been opposed to this have really been the people who have always been the rebels in both parties.
That's true. Okay? But you know, I expected this bill to get maybe 10-20% support. It got almost 50%. And that actually, you know, blew me away as like there's something going on. Like, the Congress is starting to get uppity about, like, you know, taking back some power from the executive. Now, they don't have enough support to actually do jack shit now. And even if it won in the House, it would lose in the Senate.
It would lose in the Senate.
And even if it won in the Senate, it would be vetoed by the president.
Vetoed by the president. Yeah, that's why I go back to, like, it's dead. Well, it doesn't matter.
All of this is, again, is it's not evidence that we're at the point where anything can change. It's evidence of motion. It's evidence of a change in, like, what's taken seriously at all.
No, I think you guys are taking a temporal situation where a whole bunch of people got really uppity about it. And you know what? In about 6 months and a year, they're going to forget about it. Just like they got uppity when the Patriot Act first got passed and a lot of people were opposed to it. Just like they got uppity when the Manning Papers came out. And unfortunately, our country has a very short memory with this shit.
And unfortunately, I actually think you're right about that. I think there's motion here, but unless there is a constant drumbeat or there is a new revelation that shows, and this is what I've said before, it has to be something that shows incontrovertible, like something that every single person looks at and says, oh yeah, they went way over the line there.
Right.
That's when changes happen.
That's what really would make a change. I mean, you need a Watergate-type revelation.
You need something big enough that Obama himself will come on TV and say, you're right, we completely fucked it up.
Exactly.
It has to be fixed.
That is the only way that you get that to happen. And as far as I can tell, you know what? If they had something like that, it would already been out. And you know what? I don't think it's there. So that's why the thing is that got me upset is I got people confusing, like thinking that I like these laws and this thing. I'm totally opposed to it. My problem is that I realize that I'm living in a fucking country where most people are not opposed to it, where you've got the leadership of both parties for this, okay? And I don't see a way that you're going to get a change right now because of the coalition of people and because...
Well, and right now is a key part of it, I think. Like, the question is not, like, I don't think there's a chance in hell, absent, like, major new revelations, like we mentioned, of anything changing, you know, this year or next year or whatever. The question is, can you sustain a trend where 5 years from now, 10 years from now, more people care about this stuff than they do today? And then maybe you'll see a change, not in the Obama administration, but maybe towards the end of the administration of whoever comes next.
Right.
I mean, that's the kind of time frames I think we're talking about. And you have to have, you know, a continued period. To be honest, you have to have a continued period with no major attacks. You know, because the American public is also very fickle for that. I mean, another reason why, you know, this is a very hard thing to do is nobody wants to be the guy who went on record removing something that then there's an attack and everybody's like, well, you know, if we'd kept that in place, we would have stopped this.
That's right.
And you can make all the arguments you want about, you know, how small a threat terrorism really is compared to driving your car or any number of other things. But in the end, you know, someone blows up a building and kills a few thousand people, they look at it very differently.
Yes.
My only hope is we go long enough between attacks that we actually do roll some of this stuff back so that when there's a next attack, we only go back to where we are now, as opposed to if we had another attack today and they crack down even more.
Exactly.
You know, oh my God, you know, we certainly don't need that.
No, we definitely don't. And I guess the whole thing that I'm telling people is about people. I go back to, like, everybody citing the polls. And my point that I go back to the poll is just quite simple. There's a difference between you going out to people and asking them the question directly. And you have gotten certain people to change their mind to a certain extent because they've seen all the publicity about this, especially recently, because there's definitely been a lot of it. Different to, you know what, tell me what your top five issues are, okay, that you think is a problem in America. And the fact that I guarantee you that nobody mentioned.
I'll give you a counterexample of one place where the polls have slowly been changing and moving more and more each year towards something, and then all of a sudden you're seeing all kinds of policy changes on it, and that's support for gay marriage.
Well, yeah, but how long did that take, Sam?
Well, this is exactly what I'm talking about. These things take
time. Well, it took 18 years, okay? And I mean, you know, and it goes back to the point, like, you know, today is like, oh, yeah, they were going to pass something in Congress. I'm like, and I went and I made fun of that. I'm like, really? This is the same Congress that passed DOMA. And by the way, it's not that Congress rolled it back. It's the Supreme Court struck it down.
Right.
So it's not that the opinion changed of the people that were in power. It's that it's that the law got struck down.
Well, so that, you know, doesn't the, really that doesn't despite really what they say, the Supreme Court reads polls too, you know.
I know that, but my point is that it's not because Congress went and acted on it.
No.
I mean, that's and that was my point when I was making fun of Congress.
I think nobody was nobody I was listening to anyway was under the illusion that the Mosh thing would pass and then all of a sudden policy would change. It's only an indicator of movement. It's not, hey, we're there. It's not, hey, we're in a position where we can roll back all this stuff. It's, hey, we're further along that road than we were 6 months ago.
I think that you're taking a data blip and that's going to go back to like to where it was like 6 months from now, and taking that and thinking that there's movement. I honestly think it's, you know, it's like, oh gosh, what was I gonna, it's like, you know what? It's like the convention bounce. I'm sorry. I just see a bounce of the data because we had a big blow up.
I just don't see people. And this brings up something else. I was going to save this to the end of the show, but it seems like a good match to do this right now, because we should write down when we do the end of the year shows, check in on this issue and see, you know,
the worst fizz. Agreed.
And I think, you know, I'm certainly not predicting now that there'll actually be much rollback by the end of this year, but I do think that we will at least maintain the levels and changes of the polls on this issue that we have, as opposed to it rolling back. Whether or not we make more progress on this depends entirely on what more revelations there may or may not be.
Yeah. So you think that there was a permanent move a little bit towards this?
Yes.
Which where we're at, and that it's not going to bounce back.
Yeah. I'm not necessarily predicting that we'll make a lot of additional progress unless there are more major.
But you're saying it's not going to go back.
Yeah, I guess absent, you know,
that will be interesting to see.
Absent the terrorists nuking a city or something.
Unfortunately,
but the reason I bring this up is because 6 months ago, in our show, we had a similar bet,
which was,
we said, your prediction was that the events.
Just predict.
Do you remember? Do you remember?
No, I don't remember. What did I predict? I'm scared of what I predicted.
You predicted that the events that were happening in North Africa, specifically Mali, would continue to be a big story, and we would be talking about it in July.
Boy, I guess I was wrong on that one.
And I said, there's no way in hell on the last show in July that we will have Mali as a topic.
Well, I certainly learned my lesson now, which is why I'm saying the same thing about this damn subject.
And you're right. That was the kind of thing that for like a few weeks there in like December, all everybody could talk about was, you know, Al-Qaeda in, you know,
Mali,
Algeria, right. And Mali and Sudan and those kinds of places.
The place and the plant and the thing. Yeah. And you know what? Forget it. I even forgot about the whole thing. Exactly.
See,
my point proven right there.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll see who's right in December.
I'm gonna, you know, history has shown that I'm telling you.
Short attention span. You're absolutely right. The American public has an incredibly short attention span. If it happens that, you know, in a few weeks, you know, some celebrity goes into rehab or like, you know, has a baby or whatever, then no one will give a shit.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. Okay. I think we've beaten that one to death. We'll come back in a second and talking about the censorship in the UK thing. Okay, we're back. So this UK censorship thing, Yvonne hadn't really heard about it much. But here's the basic summary of this. And I'm actually looking at an article on Boing Boing by Cory Doctorow, UK Internet Censorship Plan, no less stupid than it was last year, from Monday, July 22nd. UK Prime Minister David Cameron has promised to make pornography filters standard on British internet connections. And this is, what they have put in place, is basically, I've heard different things about the details, but basically the ISPs are going to be required to have censorship by default, specifically for pornography, but I've heard some reports that it's going to be some other material too, like potentially some hate speech material, potentially like websites that are like on anorexia or suicide, some other controversial topics, okay? Mm-hmm. And basically the idea is they say this isn't quote-unquote censorship, because if you call up your ISP and say, I would like my porn, please, they'll turn it on for you. But they're making it so you will have the censored internet unless you make the phone call and say, please turn on my porn.
I mean, but wait a minute. But let me ask a question. I mean, has this been already, like, approved, or is it something that's proposed?
My understanding is it is now going into effect. I don't know the date it's supposed to start. Let's I'll try to look that up while you talk. But but yeah, my understanding is that the change that went into effect is basically, there have been people lobbying for this for years, but now it's actually happening.
I don't like the government like doing that. I mean that's like almost like the fucking great Chinese firewall in the sky. I mean, I find it very unnerving.
Yes. And you know, the thing is with these things,
it's like, who decides what the hell is pornography in the first place?
Yes. So here are a few of the many problems with this. One is, of course, okay, fine, I can have all of these materials that I want as long as I call up my ISP and ask for it. Well, guess what? Now my ISP has a record that I asked for it.
I am a pornographer. I want to see
I them. Want my damn porn. Or more sensitively, maybe some of these other things. Although porn's good enough. You don't even have to bring in these other things to it. You know, now they've got a record. First of all, you know, that's a barrier that, you know, many people won't have any problems with, but a lot of people will have a problem with that. They want this, they want their porn, but they don't feel like calling up and asking for it.
Right.
Second, and so of course you've got this built-in database of what everybody who opts in for what, and that could potentially be used as evidence of who knows what. Second of all, is filtering biological necessity requires some degree of monitoring, because if you're doing the filtering, that means that every request has to pass through your filter on the way to wherever it's going.
That's right.
For you to decide whether or not to let it through. And so guess what? Now you can log all of that stuff. Now, people get on me. They're the ISPs, all the information passes through them anyway. They can theoretically log anything they want anyway. But this is now requiring it effectively. And they, I don't know whether they may not be required to log it all, but you're putting yet another place where all of that information is available and easily monitored, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then third is the point you brought up. Who the hell decides? Who the hell decides what is on this list and what's not on this list?
Right.
And if you remember back in the day, and I think these things have gotten slightly better than this, but there are all kinds of controversies about, sorry, I'm crinkling. You know, way back in the day, AOL got in trouble who knows how many times because they censored breast cancer support groups because they had the word breast in their name. And people were talking about breasts.
I think that they've got to be censored. Absolutely.
You know, and you hear about on a fairly regular basis when companies have their firewalls to keep people from doing things at work, that they're overly broad in all kinds of different ways. Same thing with software that's intended to, you know, nanny software for your kids. It's just notoriously bad.
I will say that I've been blocked from like some strange from websites at work, like that. I've been like, huh? That's blocked? You know, it was like some inane website that I was going to, and I think it was blocked because I think it was considered a gambling website. And that's what the filter came back to me, and
I remember going to. I was on the Wi-Fi at a local high school or something like that because I was there because my my daughter was doing something or whatever. But I was sitting in the lobby on the Wi-Fi and I couldn't go to my own website because it was labeled as a blog discussion group. It's like, seriously?
Wait a minute.
It is a blog, but
blog discussion groups?
Well,
high school?
Some do apparently. And this is one of the things, of course, is, again, who decides what's on this list?
Exactly.
Like, you know, you'd probably get a very different list of filtered porn sites if you put, you know, some conservative Christian fundamentalist in charge of the list as opposed to somebody much more liberal.
Have me as the censor. Let's see what we'll block. I'll block, I don't know. I'll block sites just to screw around, you know. I don't know. I'll just go and like take some darts and throw them at the board. I'm like, oh, what did we block? Oh, I don't know. We blocked the White House. Oh, beautiful, perfect. There you go, done.
And so there. Anyway, there's a lot of gray area. Famously, the Supreme Court themselves, when asked to define pornography, had to say, "I'll know it when I see it."
Yeah, I know. I remember that.
And it's like, really? The problem I get into with all of this stuff is when it's mandated like this. Like, if you want to put filters on your own damn computer for yourself or your family, by all means, knock yourself out.
Say, for example, you sign up for an ISP and they provide you the option at that moment in order to filter content so you don't have to worry about it with your own servers or fiddling around with your stuff and whatever. And they offer you, hey, you know what? Here's your subscription to the service. Hey, by the way, if you want to block certain content specifically, we give you a couple of choices. It's going to be managed in this way. Here's your option. Okay, there you go. If you don't like it, you can just log here and turn it off yourself. I mean, I guess I would be okay with that, especially, I mean, I can understand families' concerns about having, their children, you know, going online and getting to some websites that are unsavory and that you wouldn't want them. I mean, I could understand that, but But yet, I don't know, just leaving it up like that, and it's basically because the thing is that they're not allowing you the option to opt in. They're basically going in and saying, we'll block everything.
So I will give a correction real quick, and this is important. It is not law yet. David Cameron, as the Prime Minister, is pushing it, and since he's got a majority in the Parliament, it's much less like the Congress here. It's much more likely to just go through. But there is being a lot of objection to it. It may not make it. But right now it's going through Parliament. It is not law yet.
It is not law. Okay.
But the Prime Minister is saying, let's make this happen.
Okay. But it is not law yet. Okay. All right. Because I would have thought heard a lot more if it was already law. Okay.
Yeah, so it's just on the way to becoming law, but not there yet. So it could still be stopped. There are petitions and stuff to stop it going on. Part of it is also like you mentioned, it's like the Great Wall, Firewall of China. Interestingly enough, it turns out that the people whose filter software they were going to use is made by a Chinese company.
Well, what a fuck.
Huawei, Huawei.
Yeah, who does all the shit for the freaking Chinese?
You know, so.
Right.
And like I said, pornography is what they're talking about, but apparently the software allows a bunch of different categories. And yeah, if it was opt-in, if it was like, you know, call if you want to block pornography.
Right.
Okay, fine, whatever. But it's call if you want access. The default should be access to everything.
Right.
And then if it you want to pull back from that, block. Knock yourself out.
Exactly.
And anything else is very dangerous, just because it puts the power of determining what is blocked and what's not in the hands of the government.
Yeah.
And I mean, you can argue that they do that anyway by determining what's legal and what's not. But this is more than that. It's like, you know, blocking legal stuff.
Right.
And by the way, there already are filters like this in place to some degree.
Well, but
the ISPs in the UK, for instance, have been being forced to block access to the Pirate Bay and for piracy kind of stuff, and a bunch of other torrent sites and things like that. So there's already network manipulation stuff going on where the government is determining that certain sites should not be seen by the people of the United Kingdom. And so therefore, they're going to, you know, basically tell all the ISPs they're required to block it. And this is common, you know, in a bunch of countries as well. Not just the UK. And so it's just a question of, do you allow that trend to grow? Or do you push back? And I mean, you know, and I think even that kind of stuff is ridiculous. It's like, you know, hey, the site's there. I should be able to see it. If you want to snag me for doing something illegal once I'm there, so be it. I think those laws are stupid, but so be it. But you shouldn't stop me from accessing it.
Right. All right. Well, it's not law yet. Hopefully maybe we'll keep track of it and find out whether it does get to happen or not.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, one other thing here. It looks like in order to say that you want the pornography, you may also have to provide proof of age when you do so.
Hmm. Oh, boy.
Yeah, which, of course, you know, theoretically, all conscious sites have proof of age requirements. It's like, you know, click here if you're 18.
Yeah, I know. It's freaking...
Which is bullshit, too.
Not a load.
Like, theoretically, like, you're not allowed on Facebook if you're under, I think, 13, 16? I forget the age, but yeah, right, you know?
Yeah, I know. I've seen all these kids blocked. Anyway... All right. Well.
Okay, that's that. Do you still want to talk about the income thing, or do you want to wrap?
No, let's leave it for next week, shall we? All right, we need to wrap up.
Okay, we'll wrap this up, and then we can leave it as Yvonne thinks it's absolutely true that income in the middle class has completely stagnated over the last few decades. Where there are some people that were pointing out that there was some increase. Yvonne doesn't dispute that, but he thinks the increase is minuscule, which is what the president said as well.
Well, my point is, that the point that I've had about that is that, you know, the problem is that they're talking about, they're saying that the income, they're saying 17% inflation adjusted. The problem is that
myself and a lot of economists argue that the official measure of inflation is understating grossly real inflation, and so therefore that is not real growth.
Because it doesn't count certain things like college costs and other things that are major portions of people's spending potential.
And
not just college costs, but a whole bunch of things. There's the argument that the basket of goods that they use is just non-representative of what people actually spend today.
Right. And the thing is that some of the things there, it may be representative of what you consume like every day. But the problem is that, for example, because it doesn't consider certain things that costs have grown out of control, which like 30 years ago, the thing I said, 30 years ago, if you made $20,000 a year, okay, all right, which right now inflation adjusted, including the 17%, translates to $90,000. If you made $20,000 a year, you weren't worried about how to pay college for your kids. Because in-state tuition was super cheap. Even like private university tuition was exceedingly cheap. You could figure out a way to afford it. Okay?
I believe another thing that's in that category that's not included fully is healthcare. Is that correct?
Yes. It's far outpaced inflation. So you weren't worrying about how you pay your healthcare. You weren't worrying about how to pay your college. And oh, by the way, you weren't worried about your retirement either. Okay, because whatever this benefit or Social Security or pension that you had was more than enough to cover whatever the heck your full retirement. And the thing is that right now, oh yeah, they made 17%. Well, guess what? People don't have guaranteed pensions anymore. Healthcare costs are out of control. Education costs are out of control. And you know, and other things have grown in a way that I'm sorry, the way that people were able to pay for their bills, a person back then felt, all I got to do, I work, I do my thing, I'm going to get my pension, my kids are going to go to college, and I'm going to have health care. You know what? Right now, you kill yourself, make $100,000 a year, and shit, you know that you may not be able to afford a whole bunch of those items. And that's the point. And people miss that when they say, well, yeah, it's gone up 17%. Well, you know what? Yeah, when you don't consider all of that, sure. But, you know.
Anyway, so we sort of talked about it anyway. But that's a wrap. Thank you for joining us for this week's Curmudgeon's Corner. And we did not talk about Molly. So I win. Other than when we talked about not talking about Molly, but I had actually excluded that when we made the bet, so it's okay. As usual, email me.
Molly. Okay, all right.
What?
I thought you were talking about a girl named Molly. Exactly. There you go.
Yes, the girl named Molly. Yes.
Yes, exactly. So there you go.
Anyway, email me at ablesmay@ablesmay.com or contact us on Twitter. I'm Ablesmay. Yvonne is I am Bo. And we always like to hear from you. So thanks for listening. Tune in next week. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.